And actually got some email from folks on Fastblast. No, I don't think about money. I don't care about money. Au contraire. I'm not saying that money is necessarily your prime motivation daily, but it's the idea of necessary but not sufficient. It's sort of like the hierarchy of needs Maslow came up with years ago. Yeah, if you can't breathe, all you think about is breathing. Nothing else matters. After that, if you can't sleep, all you think about is sleeping. Nothing else matters. And on it goes with water and all that. Money, and of course the amount may vary, is necessary but not sufficient. If there's no roof over your head, all those other things you're thinking about suddenly become a little bit secondary as far as that goes. Now, I also had individuals who were saying, the government, in fact, is issuing money. My favorite was U.S. bonds. People buy them, and governments, foreign governments buy them. I'm still laughing at that. Maybe you haven't ever gone and bought, say, a T-bill or a T-bond or what have you. You're buying that from the Federal Reserve Bank. All right? If the federal government itself needs $1 billion more after it collects taxes, what it's going to do, since Congress has given away any authority for us to create it, the government goes to the Federal Reserve, which is neither federal nor reserve, private banks, which is now in charge of creating, and they don't just give it away. What they do is they're willing to deliver the $1 billion in money or credit to the federal government in exchange for the agreement to pay it back, of course, with interest. And then Congress then authorizes the Treasury Department to print it, which are in U.S. bonds, which are then delivered to the Federal Reserve bankers. Federal Reserve then pays the cost of printing and makes the exchange. It's that simple. And I know it doesn't sound believable. I got half a dozen email on that, but that's just for openers. So you can betcha when you're talking about your financial health that the Federal Reserve is right in the thick of it in this country. And again, you can count in very small numbers the countries that do not have such national banks. So if you don't think the fix is in, well, maybe you'd rather hear about real estate cycles. You do all that and more. We're talking, of course, to Robert Gover. That's robertgover.com. And the book is fascinating. And time and money, you betcha. And astrology is nothing if not the great timekeeper. But if you think that these cycles are exact, remember something else. No two moments in astrological time are ever the same. So we'll get there too. And we'll get, yes, I've had other people saying, oh, shut up and tell me when my house is going to go up in value. All right, well, that too, coming up with Raleigh James on Coast to Coast AM. It is Coast to Coast AM. I am Raleigh James. We've got Robert Gover with us, and we're solving all the problems of the world. Okay, maybe not, but at the very least, we're at least pointing out the times that you may want to really be on alert. And so let's get back to the election of 2008, because that's on everybody's minds, clearly, and the idea of voter fraud we talked about with those machines. Any way to pinpoint astrologically who the likely candidates are?
I haven't looked into that yet, Raleigh, because, we don't have the candidates lined up yet. Exactly. I mean,
that's what I mean. In terms of the both parties, you've got half a dozen or more, at this moment, hopefuls in each of them. And curious, who will the Democratic and Republican, maybe that doesn't matter, back to Republicans and Republicans.
Looking at a chart for November, December 13th, I'm looking at right now. I was looking at the winter solstice of 2012, but let me pull up something else. Around that the time of the coming and next election, there's gonna it looks like there's gonna be unprecedented volatility, and or we could call it clashes. The Pluto and Venus are going to get jumped opposite Uncle Sam's Venus, Mars, Venus, Jupiter, and Sun. Uranus is going to be opposite, and Saturn conjunct Uncle Sam's Neptune. So this is going to be a very volatile time with the Moon conjunct Uncle Sam's Pluto.
Which makes sense to talk about a lot of volatility with regard to the specifics of the election itself and the voting boxes and all of that. Of course, there's another piece of volatility that many of us are looking for, and that is things like Ron Paul actually getting a nomination. Now, of course, the Republicans would collectively pass out and gag as far as the Republican hierarchy. Is there anything that indicates that a dark horse or a Uranian choice, if you will, might actually come into play?
Yeah, with that Uranus, Saturn-Uranus opposition conjunct Uncle Sam's Neptune, square Uncle Sam's Mars, that's definitely a distinct possibility.
Interesting.
And it could be, it looks like anything could happen in this coming election. But whatever happens is going to be, kick up a lot of dust.
Now, looking at this astrologically, and I know you mostly, certainly in your book and in others, deal with finances and the economy, which are not the same thing, as you point out, that we'll get to. But with regard to that, then, forgetting about who wins this election, but as you start to look further down the economic path, is there any abrupt change, or are we moving for the next few years more toward doom, if you will?
Well, I think we're going to go through a series of downturns, both financially and economically in the overall economy, and we're going to bottom out in 2015, as we bottomed out about 1933, 34, mm-hmm. in the Great Depression, because the astrological pattern is going to be very much the same. And then after that, a lot will depend on what the people in power decide, because what needs to happen is the economy has to be put back in balance. But the conservatives, the wealthy right-wing conservatives, will not want that to happen, and they own the guys with the guns.
Well, sure, and then the other side of that is that those who consider themselves socialists or extreme liberals don't want it to happen because they want to control it on their aspect of it. You've got two sides of a control coin here when you're talking about people in power.
Right.
And that's what worries me the most, that it's not like there's bad guys and there's good guys. Mm-hmm. There's just different means of control.
It is exactly. I mean, either side can put up a dictatorial regime.
Now, I hesitate to bring this up, but when we look at what we're talking about of the instability of the coming election, is there any indication of major political assassinations?
Well, Pluto opposite Mars is a good indication that there will be, a tremendous amount of hostility that could lead to assassinations or outbreaks of violence.
Okay, but nothing that you've seen that targets really an assassination as much as just public instability. Now, in a way, there are many people who would see public instability and say this is an excellent thing because, of course, the public as a whole has been so uninvolved and apathetic that people awakening would be a step on taking freedom back.
Well, and that's when political assassinations become likely.
Yeah.
In all that instability. I think the great instability creator here is the opposition between Saturn and Uranus.
Right.
And when it falls conjunct Uncle Sam's Neptune, then that's confusion.
Right, and Uranus is just lightning quick, which could indicate, assassination or something like that, out of the blue, you will.
And also the key words for Uranus is expect the unexpected.
So right.
It's really difficult to predict except something extreme. During the 60s, when Uranus and Pluto were conjunct, in Virgo conjunct Neptune, you woke up in the morning and it was like you never knew what to expect that day. You just knew that something strange and unlikely would happen.
Right, and they were conjunct in an Earth sign in Virgo.
Exactly.
And that will, I guess, where will they be now?
Well, they'll be opposite Virgo. They'll be opposite Neptune. They'll be opposite. Uranus will be opposite Virgo, and Saturn will be in Virgo, conjunct the U.S.
Okay.
And during the 60s, it was opposite that. Saturn was in Pisces, and Uranus was in Virgo with Pluto. Now, Pluto will be square of that position. So this will resemble the 60s in some ways.
Now, it's interesting because when you say that, the 60s as a decade certainly were loud and certainly were maybe revolutionary on some fronts. But on the other hand, it was also a big generation of lemmings. The hippies that claimed to be so different from each other were actually almost in uniform. And there was a lot of talk and this and that, but was there really any change?
Yeah, you know, I look at the 60s as the planting of the seed. And the upcoming period as the seed beginning to sprout.
Okay.
So, and you know, what the hippies didn't do is take technology with them. And what I think will happen in movements, alternative lifestyle movements of the future, which or you might call them community movements, mm-hmm. where people will want to, you know, get free from the, what I call the government corporate complex.
Mm-hmm.
is by forming communities, and but they'll want to definitely do it in a high-tech way and maybe virtual communities online.
All right, now when you mention online, this is another big concern for many people. Right now, one of the greatest aids we have to knowledge and liberty is the internet, and it's unprecedented in its freedom. And of course, there at every turn, there is something that threatens that. The House last week passed the SAFE Act, which would make even a Wi-Fi distributor, you know, somebody has a free Wi-Fi, guilty if somebody accessed kiddie porn, you know, which can ultimately, if the Senate passes it and goes into law, really quash that. You've got the big providers, the AT&Ts and Comcasts, who want to, you know, don't want a blind pipe. They want to control their traffic. And
sure.
Of course, as we were talking earlier, the government would love nothing more than this because much easier to control a couple mega players than millions of individuals. So astrologically speaking, what's the likelihood that we will continue to have a free internet?
Well, that's hard to say from an astrological point of view, but I would say that by November of 2008, that will definitely become an issue, the information available on the internet.
Right, because that's Uranus.
Because of the opposition of Saturn and Uranus.
Yeah.
To me, if the big corporations pull the plug on the internet, they would have their hands full in social upheaval.
Well, I wouldn't see it as pulling the plug as much as controlling the traffic.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things right now is if you're in a country where you're blocked from certain internet sites, you generally don't know it. They don't put up a flag saying,
right.
"Oh, we're not letting you in here." You just don't have access to it as if it doesn't exist, and especially the ones if you don't know if they exist. Well, you're in the blind that it's the case.
Oh, I already found evidence that they're censoring the internet. They're censoring information that was on the internet. I went to look up the last hearing of HUAC, and I couldn't find anything. And I attended that thing with, you know, because Abby Hoffman and Jerry Rubin and the Chicago Nine were there. And that was the last hearing of HUAC, and Abby Hoffman and Jerry Rubin turned it into a laughing stock.
Right.
They destroyed it by humor. And there's nothing on the internet about it except some guy at LSU wrote a term paper or a thesis about something else and included a long piece about Abby Hoffman and Jerry Rubin and the last UAC hearing. But that's the only thing they missed.
Well, one of the things we're talking about historical events is that they do tend to be a little more elusive on the internet because they're usually there at the desire of somebody to use their bandwidth to put it up there. And so that comes and goes. What's frightening to think is that the current information and current sites, not saying they'll disappear, but they'll be so difficult to access in terms of just how long it'll take you for a page to load, that how many people will take a look at it. And I think that as far as a threat to our freedom, our liberty that way, it's probably greater than anything else out there. And
I think propaganda is as powerful as a nuclear bomb as far as messing up societies.
Yeah. Well, now that brings up something else that I don't know if this astrologically can be really pinpointed, but one of the greatest sorrows that many of us feel as far as loss of liberty is the myth of the free press.
Oh, yeah.
There's so many things like, well, Ron Paul's a perfect example. The major networks would, you know, rather run dead air than something about Ron Paul. And when they do, you talk about propagandizing it. So, I go to communications and I think Uranus, for instance. Is there anything astrologically that points out those trends?
Well, Uranus and the square between Uranus and Pluto promises revolution. And what's ripe to be overturned is the control of this corporate government complex.
And what years?
Because the government no longer represents the people, and the corporations are plundering the American people.
Okay. When is that most effective?
From about 2012 to about 2016.
Okay, good. We talked 2012. Now, of course, the Mayan calendar comes to an end, which, of course, leads to every speculation imaginable as to why that might be.
Right.
And so I'm sure that you've looked at this period astrologically.
Uh-huh. Very much.
And what have you found?
I suspect it's going to be a change of consciousness and also a change in the nature of money. There's a... there was somebody that I think his name was Calhoun or I forget his name, wrote a little essay on the Mayan fix on money and how the Mayan felt that money had to be material rather than abstract. And we are now in an age of machine money, you know.
Frighteningly so, yes.
Electronic digit money.
Hmm? Yeah, yes, one pulse bomb and there are no accounts.
Right, right. And I think that is going to, explode. I kind of expect the people who are frantically trying to pile up as much money as possible are going to, like, overstep their bounds and fight among themselves. And wreck themselves.
So the various central banks, perhaps.
Yeah, I mean the Chinese central bank is not going to go along with the American Fed or the EU central bank, and I think the Russian is going to side with the Chinese, and then a lot's going to depend on what the Indians do.
Okay, so you're seeing upper level feuding of these central banks.
Yes. Yes, because I don't think they all want to be, follow the program of the Americans to gain utter and complete control over money and societies, because I think they've been there before in their past history and know where that goes.
Well, that's interesting, because I can't imagine China wanting to do anything but control.
Well, the present regime in China, yeah, they're It's amazing to me how well they get along with our corporate executives.
Well, sure. I'm not really the least bit surprised.
On the one side, they're communists, and on the other side, they're laissez-faire capitalists.
Right.
But they get along like long-lost brothers.
Well, and, you know, the labels aside, we're talking about control of the masses.
Exactly.
And that's why, you know, we'll say the leftists are different from the rightists, or that socialism is different from fascism. No, these are all systems of control, and so they're brethren that way. Now,
that's why I think there's going to be a movement to form communities that are independent of all these forces that are trying to control top-down command type. Control.
Right. And, you know, to a degree, we've seen this already. And, of course, the government's real quick to send in the Secret Service to bust anybody trying a barter currency.
Yep.
And so we're already starting to see it. We've got Robert Gover with us. RobertGover.com is the website, worthy of your attention, and as is the book. And if you can, get a copy, Time and Money, The Economy and the Planets. We'll do a little more on 2012, get some globalism in there. And I haven't forgotten the real estate market, believe me, all coming up right here with Raleigh James on Coast to Coast AM. What is the old phrase? Geld, Geld, die ganze Welt. Money, money, the whole world. Don't kid yourself. All right. It's not about is your attention always turned to money. It's just suddenly when you have no sustaining of life, it becomes critical. Is that going to happen with 2012? Will a pulse bomb take all of the account balances and put them to zero? And if so, at that moment in time, would it be better to be in debt with a lot of stuff? All right. Everybody's talking about no debt, right? We'll get into debt. We'll finish out the Mayan calendar there. We'll take a look at Pluto and Capricorn. I've had a question about the Patriot Act. Speaking of questions, your questions will be coming up next hour for Robert Gover, and you can bet we'll finish it up with the real estate cycles. Got to look at that particularly right now. So plenty of things to discuss. Robert Gover here to discuss them with me, Raleigh James, on Coast to Coast AM. It is Coast to Coast AM. I am Raleigh James. We got Robert Gover with us. And apart from the ethical considerations, assuming that there is a wipeout of the electronic records of money, is it better to be in debt?
Well, yeah, in debt, but holding hard assets.
Yeah.
Like real estate and, you know, commodities, property. Tangible property.
Which, of course, brings us right to real estate. And
land is the basic form of wealth.
Yes, and right now, due to a lot of the Federal Reserve policies, land is also at the most inflated prices, certainly in our country's history.
Yes.
And now we're in a real estate cycle where some are saying, well, it's returning to normalcy. Others say if it did return to normalcy, that would wipe out most everybody because the prices have been so inflated. But economically speaking and astrologically speaking, this becomes interesting because prior to the formation of the Fed, you had definable cycles. Since the Fed, not so much. So that's where I tend to look more at real estate with regard to astrology, both looking at the Fed and at real estate. And with all that in mind, where are we?
Well, I think there are two reasons why the down cycle in real estate this time is going to be extended. One is astrological, and the other is because the recent housing price bubble was extended by the Fed, dropping interest rates to spike up this horrendous, bubble in real estate.
Right.
And so whenever what goes up comes down, and if when there's a bubble on the top side, the downside gets extended usually. And the other reason astrologically is the Uranus-Pluto square and other lesser astrological configurations that are going to they're going to change our society. They're going to change some of the basic ways we do business.
How so?
Well, I don't know. I mean, that depends on what gets decided. I mean, in other words, the people there's two, there's the ruling class that says, well, we got to change something here, so we'll do it this way. Now, if that works if the people then join in and approve that by consensus, it sticks. But if it does, if the people don't approve it by consensus, especially in a period so volatile as the one coming up, if the people continue to resist it by one means or another, then the people in control have to come up with some other solution.
Now, this dovetails into something that we've really been looking at a lot, which is the possibility of the North American Union. When you look at the Security and Prosperity Partnership and the meeting between Bush and Martin and Fox and all of the goings-on in that point, you look at illegal immigration, you look at a number of things, it's easy to see that when you talk about the ruling class, the powers that be, if nothing else, would like a North American Union.
Exactly. Now, the powers that be have a different sense of territory.
Right.
See, we humans have an instinct for territory. When we sell each other property, we map it off really carefully. Here's where my boundary ends and yours begins.
Right.
And when the same thing with nation states. But the global corporations have a different sense of territory. Their territory is more market-oriented. They want markets.
Sure.
And they mark their territory, and their territory transcends traditional boundaries. So it's going to be a battle between, you know, traditional boundaries and global corporate boundaries.
Much of what's been going on has been going on in deep secrecy. And those who have mentioned things like the North American superhighway, the NAFTA superhighway, if you will, and anything regarding to the coming union of the countries are made to be kooks. Now, of course, secrecy can usually be pinpointed pretty well, astrologically speaking. So I guess my question is this going to be burst wide open so that the public is keenly aware?
I think so. I mean, as this square between Uranus and Pluto tightens, a lot of stuff, see, when especially when Pluto moves, I mean, when Uranus moves into Aries, where, mm-hmm. While it's in Pisces, its effects are muted. When it moves into Aries, which I think is about the 2010, 2011,
mm-hmm.
Then the doo-doo is going to hit the blades and things are going to become much more volatile.
Yeah, because Aries, of course, a masculine fire sign.
Mars,
very warlike.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the first thing you think of. And, of course, Uranus, more than anything else, having absolute suddenness shows you that there can be a flashpoint. Now, there are many people who are worried about this becoming a fait accompli without real public, you know, information and weighing in on it, as well as the Amero currency. Some are seeing a combined currency as being something acceptable to the public if we can get the economics of the three countries so in trouble that people willingly, and of course Mexico is already there, but for us in Canada, where people are willing to go for it. Do you see, when you're looking at this downturn, and really we talked about a downturn through 2015 in America, do you see this as being worldwide?
Yes, I do, but I see it happening more definitively in the United States because of the transits to natal configurations.
Okay.
And that fits with the United States being the world, you know, prototype.
Right.
The prototypical economy that the world now has. And I see that the, you know, my vision of it is that the people of the United States are not going to let the powers that be get away with what they want to get away with.
We've seen a glimmer of that.
Resistance, and it's going to be a resistance on a, you know,
big scale, yeah.
Yeah, individual level. I mean, maybe by truckers and farmers and just mm-hmm. plain folks to saying no. I'm not going to do it that way. Thank you very much.
We've seen a little of that. I think the first time the public truly weighed in on an issue was the immigration bill last late spring.
Right.
That blindsided Congress, to say the least.
It still has the politicians confused.
Well, right, and they're trying to get the, you know, the basic provisions in that bill through and every other bill hidden that they can find.
Right.
But we've seen at this point that the public, when really challenged that way, will awaken. Of course, again, that's the last thing the public wants, which was what got me when I asked earlier about the internet to thinking that, you know, this may be an end to the information. The other thing, though, that's a real issue right now, and in some ways an artificial issue, but nonetheless, it's got the public involved, and it certainly has the candidates involved on both sides of the aisle, really, and it's truly frightening to me when we talk about control. Of course, you probably know where I'm going, health care.
Oh, yeah. Well, health care is a quintessential problem. I mean, our health care system makes more money than any other conceived by the mind of man in history, and yet it delivers really shoddy health care, 37th in the nation, 37th in the world ranked. You know, by the UN.
There's many ways to measure this, and I want to go back to the Hegelian principle, because when we look about where we are economically with our health system, the biggest problems that we've had have arisen from cost shifting. And the idea that you'll treat for free and that you can pass it along and Medicaid will be undercompensating and Medicare slightly undercompensating, and then the insurance groups become big providers so that when you, Robert, or me, Raleigh, walk in, if we're uninsured, we're going to be paying a rate that's easily 10 times, sometimes more, what these preferred buying groups are paying. And so we economically have created a thing where, regardless of how people feel about health care, unless they're in the system, they can't afford it, or unless they're, you know, a billionaire. But assuming so they're forcing us in the system. And now we're hearing more about electronic records, and all these things, again, come down to control. And probably the biggest way to control the populace is to control their health care, such as Maryland mandating that if a parent doesn't vaccinate, it's a criminal prosecution for their children. And so we see this on every level.
All this is to, you know, make wealthy the people in who run the medical industry, as I call it.
Yeah, that's certainly a big part of it. But the other side of the plus for those who seek to control us is, in fact, control, because no system is being suggested that is not draconian in its control level.
Right.
And what we've got is people who are so disgusted by the present, who are failing to see what will happen if they turn over that control. I mean, I've never seen Hegel work better than this, except maybe the Patriot Act. So with regard to this upcoming election, is there any way to take a look at health care and know where this issue is going, astrologically speaking?
Well, astrologically, we can tell when a time of volatility and change is due, but we can't tell
what it will be,
people, you know, how the thing will shake out, because what will be decided by whom.
Right.
And so it's up in the air right now, as far as I can tell. I mean, I would love to be able to say, what I feel that I can't say definitively is that in the long run, and that may take us to 2025, the people will assert their power. And we'll reach a new balance. We'll reach a new balance the way the economy, something like the way the economy was balanced after World War II through about 1970.
So you really think it could be 2025 before we emerge from the turbulence that we're really going into?
It could be. But if the right decisions are made, we could emerge by 2018, 2019.
Okay. All right. But the teens, no matter how we slice it and dice it, are going to be turbulent.
Yeah, I'm fairly sure. I'm absolutely sure of that.
Very few astrologers really concentrate on death, Western astrologers anyway. But as we look at the U.S. chart, of course, if we do merge into another union or become another entity, globally speaking, that is really the death of the USA chart. Have you looked to see if that's a possibility?
Yes, that Pluto returning to its natal position makes it a possibility, but I don't think that the instinct of territorial, you know, we are territorial animals, and I don't think our sense of territory will allow that to happen.
Okay.
That's my take on it.
Maybe that's the upheaval.
People will go along with it. I mean, you know, sometimes the powers that be can pass laws and the people just don't obey them.
Well, sure. Then that may be the upheaval you've been seeing, too, in this, that may be exactly the point. We've got, again, many things that chip away at our sovereignty that people seem not to notice, but a wholesale change might be just what gets people involved.
Mm-hmm.
The Patriot Act, obviously, and of course 9/11, it's impossible not to mention those because many people saw that as a real line of demarcation, if you will, the end of innocence on our soil and things of that nature. Now, have you looked at that period of time astrologically?
Yeah, that was a period of time when there was an opposition between Saturn and Pluto.
Okay.
And that happens about every 33 years. And it's always a time of bullheadedness. And so, again, the Patriot Act, it's absorbing a whole ton of money, the Homeland Security Department.
Well, and also absorbing...
It isn't really doing anything.
It's absorbing our Constitution. If you look at it that way, we can hold people secretively and do many things that are such a polar opposite to what we believe to be constitutional protection, and the public's gone along with it.
Well, the public, I think, has less gone along with it and been just into its own thing. I mean, most people, like I say, won't stir until it hits them personally.
Right, of course.
In the pocketbook. So if the government is doing weird things, well, that's I can't help it. I got to put the baby to bed, and,
right,
and I got to get up the next morning and get, you know, to work and all this. And,
right, until Uncle Chester disappears one day. Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly.
When it hits us personally,
yeah,
then we become excited, involved, and upset, and we involve others.
Economically, when we look at things, it's impossible not to discuss outsourcing, because when we realize that without any type of rational trade restriction, what we're doing is ushering our manufacturing out the door.
Oh, yeah, I think we're plundering the country.
Right, and that's absolutely true.
We're taking what the labor and ingenuity of Americans made and the profit from that, and investing it in cheap labor markets.
Well, sure, and then anybody who wants to manufacture here is held to what we sell to the public as the standards that must be upheld, whether it's minimum wage or OSHA or what have you. But when you're bringing something in with no tariffs that has none of that restriction, economically it's pretty easy to see where that's going.
And see, they propagandize it so that when people say, well, we need protection, oh, you're a protectionist.
Well,
you
know, when you
word.
When you can't attack the message, you attack the messenger. That's always going to be the case.
Right.
But with this dynamic that's been around now for a while and will become more so with the easy availability of both transportation and communication, especially those who thought it was just going to be manufacturing found out, oh, no, it's the service sector, too.
Mm-hmm.
Where are we going? Is there anything? And of course, astrologically for that, maybe you'd have to do charts of every country we're involved with, but is there anything to point out whether this is a trend that will continue unabated?
I think it's a trend that will continue to a point where the people who are profiting from it will become squabble among themselves and fight among themselves, and they will have left the people of the United States, the bulk of the population, to try and put Humpty Dumpty back together again without their help.
Interesting. Finances and the economy, you had mentioned in one of your writings, are not one in the same. What's the difference?
Well, the stock market can often be booming and doing really well, while the overall economy, especially for working class people, can be wretched.
Of course.
I mean, you could make a good argument, and people like Ravi Batra of SMU, economist at SMU, has made an argument that we've been in a Great Depression. The lower middle class, and pretty much the middle class, has been in a Great Depression since about the mid-70s.
I believe it. And what's caused the inability of people to see this, other than the erroneous reporting, is, again, easy availability of credit.
Yep. That's one reason, right? But people pretty much see it because they know that mom and dad didn't both have to work. Dad had a job and mom stayed home and took care of the kids. Now, mom and dad both have to work to make ends meet.
Yeah, and very often dad has to get another part-time job on top of it.
Right.
And, you know, the statistics are very frightening with regard to the real unemployment rate versus the stated unemployment rate.
Exactly.
So when you start to look at this, are there trends that have been, astrologically speaking, that have been moving since the 70s that will culminate in 2015? In other words, is this one downward long trend?
Around that time, Neptune will be squared by Saturn. I think that'll happen around 2020, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
And when that happens, a lot of this Neptunian delusion will be blasted away, and people will see things much more clearly.
Interestingly. Fascinating stuff. Robert Gover is our guest. And next hour, you are welcome to have Adam. Your calls are welcome as we finish the final hour on Coast to Coast with Raleigh James. It is Coast to Coast AM.